may be seated. Every praise is to our God, and yet we are living in a somewhat of a troublesome time. And I was reading in the Word of the Lord and reading about prayer and reading about fasting and times of all of those things when we are here praying this next several days and weeks. And so I knew that as a church we are going to be asking the Lord for many miracles, and I hope you wrote some down. I have wrote seven down myself, and I have seen the Lord working in some of those areas of, that I was asking the Lord for some miraculous touches. And as a church, we are what? Growing apostolic legacy. And what that means is we are apostolic. And individuals may say, I'm not real sure what that is. That means we believe in the apostles' doctrine. And we also experience and believe in a Pentecostal experience with Almighty God that was given on the day of Pentecost, which ironically was the day that was often used to celebrate the giving of the law. And so how the word that is a lamp unto our feet now dwells in us. And in the Old Testament, it talked about not written on tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of your heart. And so we hope that we are growing, and we are in number, and we hope we're growing in the fruit of the Spirit and in impact and in baptisms and those receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and that means that we're alive. And yet we also are apostolic, as I mentioned, and which means that we believe in fellowship and being revival-minded and evangelistic-minded and kingdom-minded and missions-minded. And that's why we take up offerings for missionaries, and we do our best to, be a lighthouse and to represent the kingdom of God everywhere we go. And that's part of who and what we are. And then, of course, this church has a tremendous legacy in our history, over 100 years here. And I know families that are living for God, whose parents and grandparents and great-grandparents that came to this church, came through this church and felt and received a touch of the Holy Ghost and were baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Spirit and presence of Almighty God. And so what a great legacy. But that's nothing if we don't build on that. And that's why it's exciting for to see our young folks sitting here in the front and have young folks that are with us. And when we when they lead in worship and help, it's a powerful part of what this church is about, because we have experienced great leaders that have come out of this church, but that are leaders in prayer and in missionary work and in giving and so forth, worship and in spirituality. And we should be taking the lead in that same avenue. And yet, you know, you're going to have trouble, and their trouble can come. And I don't know if anybody's ever had trouble. And then you say, well, how do you have joy in the midst of trouble? Because there are some tremendous books, such as Philippians, the book of Philippians, which was written when Paul was in jail or in prison, and he was in trouble. And yet it talks about joy and having a sense of joy in the midst of that. In Thessalonians, he wrote about rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And yet, sometimes individuals look at us and they say, well, you must be ignoring, what's going on around you. No, but there is something about when we sang about heaven touching earth, when you connect emotionally and you say, well, why are you worried about connecting emotionally with the presence of God? Because Brother Inman stopped me this morning and he said, you know, it's more than just in your head, it's out of your heart. And that's a very powerful statement, because the Bible says out of your innermost being flows the spirit and presence of Almighty God. It's not something that you say, okay, well, I've got head religion, I know in whom I believe, but the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, wants to impact us emotionally. And you say, well, why? Well, because the fruit of the Spirit, he described as being what? Love, that's emotion. Joy, that's emotion. Long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, all of those are based in emotions. What do you mean gentleness? That means being calm in the midst of a storm, and long-suffering, not being easily rattled and not being easily thrown off. And yet we are seeing an hour in which people are at a snapping point almost at all times. I mean, you look at somebody wrong in the parking lot. You try to pass somebody. Whatever. There's just almost this, you know, sense of you've pushed me to the brink. And I'm going to have some kind of a major response emotionally. And folks, you know, it's like I'm stressed, and you don't understand. I am stressed, and whether it's fear or whether it's anxiety or whether it's depression or whatever, our society is being attacked emotionally and mentally and spiritually and out of the heart. And so, you know, you look in the Old Testament, and I know this was written to a backslidden church, if you will. Hosea had a wife that would run away, and he wrote this, and God inspired him to go back and do all of this because he said it is so much like Israel. And yet, here's what the Lord told even Hosea to write for those that are backsliding. Now, this is not everybody in here. Nobody in here, I'm saying, is backsliding. But I'm saying that's what this was written to. Here's what God said he was going to do when Israel got off track. He basically said, therefore, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And so when individuals try to do, to live, and to exist without the flow of the presence of God and without connecting, it seems like no matter how much the enemy says, oh, I'm free, and how much they put on Facebook, how wonderful life is, let me tell you, it's thorny. Just recognize that there's walls, there's things that stop them, and it's hard for them. And it says, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she'll never overtake them. She's never going to be happy. She will seek them, but shall not find them. They shall say, I will go and return to my first husband, for it was better with me than now. Well, and that was what he started off, and I'm just reading excerpts from this second chapter. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. I will also cause her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her songs. Basically what the Lord said is it's not going to bring the satisfaction. It's not going to bring the pleasure. Oh, there is pleasure in sin, but it says what? For a season. It feels good at first, but before long, it doesn't satisfy. It does not fill the craving. And that's what Hosea was writing about. And he said, therefore, I will allure her. Now, this is God speaking. And then bring her where? into the wilderness. Why in the wilderness? In times of where she's left with just no place to turn, no place to go. And then the presence of the Lord, as Brother Reagan said, that Sister Gina said last week about conviction, was the love of God. He says, then I will speak comfortably to her. When you are in your most, if you find yourself leaving the presence of God and you get yourself in the worst wilderness you could find and you don't have an answer, that is where God is still able and willing to speak comfortably to you. Aren't you thankful that he never leaves nor forsakes us? Aren't you thankful that he doesn't abandon us as well? And he said, I will give her vineyards, which is a type of the presence of God, and will give her, and the valley of Achor, which was the valley of judgment. That's what Achor was. Remember when Achan sinned and stole and God judged them and they stoned all of those people in Achor? He said, in the place of judgment, I will open a door of hope. What a privilege it is to know that kind of a God. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm going to just wait. I'm going to have my fun, and because I know God will be there. Well, you are only hurting yourself. Why go through all of that? Why not just love the Lord and live for God every day and then have the joy of the Lord? Because the Bible says, with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. Why not have that joy all the time? And yet, unfortunately, some folks have gone through this. None here. I know we're all great. But have had to reach a point of judgment before they turn back to God. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth. And as the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. What are you saying? What a privilege it is to know that kind of a God and to have that kind of a relationship with Almighty God. And you say, well, Pastor, I've gone too far. I've done too much. No, there is always a valley of hope. There is joy. You can unspeakable and full of glory. The Lord is able to come into your wilderness and to help you come forth with singing and rejoicing. In the valley of Achor, there can spring up a place of hope. Oh, hallelujah. I'm thankful for that kind of a God. And sometimes folks misunderstand and they think, well, it doesn't matter. No, there are times whenever I go through things that the Lord is also, you know, trying to get me to realize that I need him. In fact, in the New Testament, you say, well, that's Old Testament. The New Testament, Luke wrote it like this, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And notice that last phrase, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now, nobody wants to go through anything. I don't want to go through anything. But you say, well, Pastor, have you ever had to go through things? Absolutely. But guess what? I have always found if the Lord will provide a door of hope when you have backslidden, how much more when you're trying to do what's right and you're trying to live for God, will you have a door of hope, a door of rejoicing, an area, a time to sing? You say, well, I haven't felt like singing. Well, that's when you got to say, well, wait a minute. I need to let the Holy Ghost start flowing. And that's what folks were doing coming up here today for prayer. You say, well, I don't know that I need all of that. Well, your emotions, you may not be going through anything emotionally enough that you do need a dose of the living water. I don't want to throw him under the bus. He's here, Brother Tim Galoney. I talked to him this week, and he said, Pastor, it did me so much good to feel the presence of the Lord last Sunday when I came up and got prayed for. What are you talking about? Oh, not that. No, I'm not backslidden, not any of that. But when I'm going through something, there is a power that comes and begins to flow through me, and I feel the joy. I feel a door of hope. I feel all of a sudden the joy of the presence of the Lord. I feel, you know, oh, hallelujah, with joy, you'll draw water out of the well. What are you saying? Well, I'm not going through anything. Well, but you never know. Here's what it said in Romans. He said, be justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work patience, patience experience, experience hope, hope makes not ashamed, because, as Brother Reagan said earlier, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, oh, which is given. Oh, that's an emotion. All of a sudden, my emotions are washed by the love and the presence of Almighty God. And for those of you who've never been in love, I'm sorry. If you've never loved a dog or a cat or a person, child, I'm very sorry. You won't understand this. But you know what? Love is just about able to overcome anything when you know somebody loves you. Huh? Oh, I mean, it feels good. In fact, Corinthians talks about what all love endures, and love this and love that and all. Huh? And that's why he said it's the love of God which is shed abroad and by the Holy Ghost. We feel the love of God. So coming up and just beginning to speak forth in a heavenly language, all of a sudden I feel the love of God. I feel the embrace of God. I feel the connection with Almighty God. And you know what? You know, when everything has failed, that's what Corinthians says, love still stands. That's why we talk about the love of God. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't, you know, I like my dog, but I don't really like it that much. Or my cat. Well, you need to plug into a deep experience of the love of God. Feeling the love of Almighty God. It goes deeper than even the love that you can have with a spouse or with children or with anyone. For when we were yet without strength, notice that, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You say, well, I don't know that I feel that kind of love. Well, that's that, you know, all I can tell you is that either you don't feel it because the accuser is beating you up, because it's here. And that's why individuals, you know, and the accuser knows that, you know, and some people say, well, you know, I'm a lover and not a fighter, and I don't want to get crossways with anybody. And yet the enemy makes you feel crossways with God. Because that's why he's talked about the accuser wants you to feel like, oh, something's wrong. And there's truth that there is joy in what? Obedience. When you obey, it's like everything's in harmony. Everything feels good, feels right. And I agree, you know. And the Lord said, you know, hey, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide where? In my love. Now, what people think is that the Lord turns his love off when you don't keep him. It's not that the Lord turns his love off. You know what I'm talking about. If you've had children, if they've been disobedient, you don't stop loving them. You may correct them. But there, you correct them because you love them. Whatever they're doing is endangering them, potentially could harm them. And so if you didn't love them, you would just let them go. Let them be raised by wolves or whatever. right? I mean, so what? You never say thank you, never say please, never mind your manners. Just, we'll let you go. Talk any way you want, act any way you want. Hallelujah. We're parents. We love our kids. No, you don't. You know, no, I'm not saying, you know, you've got a 30-year-old child. You can't make them obey. I realize that. But what people don't realize, and it's like, you know, the devil tries to make you think, okay, you disobeyed. God doesn't love you. No, he's going to do his best to get you back. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Why? What are you talking about? When you obey, now this was in the 15th chapter of John, and 14th and 15th and 16th chapter is about the Holy Ghost, and is about prayer, and is about what the Holy Ghost does. And so that's what he said in the 15th chapter. In the 16th chapter, you can go a little further and begin to read about, here's what he said. And yet a little while, and you shall see me no more. And again a little while, and you shall see me. And you shall see me. Because I go, you shall not see me again. Let me read that slowly. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again a little while, and you shall see me. Because I go to the Father. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. So they were as confused as I was. They go, I don't get it. A little while, we won't see him. A little while, we will see him. Well, what was he talking about? The outpouring of the Spirit. He was talking about the same Spirit that is in me is going to be in you. And so they said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they had all these thoughts, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves that I said a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me? Verily, verily, which is another way of saying truly, truly, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And then he talks about childbirth. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Truly I say unto you, then he goes into, whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time comes when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came also from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go into the Father. And his disciples said, Lo, now you speak plainly and speak no proverb. Now are we sure that you know all things and need not that any man should ask you? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, and now is come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, what a powerful understanding that we have, that now, because of the presence of the Lord, we can ask what we will in the name that is above every name, the name at which every knee shall bow, and know that God is able. He is able to heal. He's able to save. He's able to deliver. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, regardless of what the doctors have said, regardless of what the lawyers have said, regardless of what society says. We serve a God that is able, that is able, that is able. You say, oh, Pastor, I feel like, you know, this sense of obeying sometimes, that blessing that comes in obedience. You know, the Lord was trying to show them. In fact, he said, whosoever hears these sayings and doeth them is like a man who builds his house on a rock. And oh yes, trouble may come, the rain may fall, the floods may come, the winds may blow, but the house will never fall because it was founded on a rock. What are you saying? That it's not just hearing it, but it's doing it. It's not just hearing it up here, but it's doing it from here. It's saying, Lord, I am so thankful that I am able to be in your presence. I want to feel your presence. I want to embrace that. I want to do it. It's not enough for me to say, oh, yes, I serve the Lord. Yes, I go to church. Yes, I do. It's in my mind. And I've had people say, well, you know, the Lord communicates with me through my mind. Yes. And I can go sit out under a tree and I feel God. I understand that. But he talked about forsake not the assembling of yourselves and doing some things. And you say, I can pray in my mind, yes, but there's something special about whenever you feel the need to being able to come and let somebody anoint you and to raise your hands and feel the moving in the presence of Almighty God. It's that doing it that begins to wash us, that begins to give us strength. You say, oh, well, you know, my family was not a family that we didn't talk about things and share emotions, and they were all crazy. And the family of God's different. When you join another family, you know, your family may not have done that, but there's a family of God. And you say, well, you know, nobody called me and nobody cared about me. Well, you'd be surprised. People, in fact, there were a couple folks up here this morning that as I went to pray for them, they said, I'm taking a prayer cloth too. I'm doing. What are you talking about? You know, and I was in Home Depot yesterday and saw some folks from the church. I won't even tell you who it was. And they started asking me, how's this one doing? And how's that one doing? Huh? Why? We're talking about the family. Yeah, right. talking about the family. I can't talk very long to some people, and they're, you know, they want to know how everybody's doing, what's going on. That's not bad. That's good. And the Lord understood this. He was talking to his disciples. His brethren were with him. And his mom and his brothers, probably James was there, came and stood out. And somebody told him, your mom and your brothers are there and they want to talk to you. And you know what Jesus said? Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Then he turned to his disciples and said, this is my family. You say, well, I don't feel loyal. Are you trying to get rid of my family? No. But he goes on. This next verse is very clear. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. You say, well, I don't, you know, I've got 2 million Facebook friends, or however many, 20 million. I'm glad I have the family of God.
Amen.
Yes. I'm glad I have the family of God. It was interesting, and it was good to visit with these folks from Australia that we'd been to many years ago and see that they're still living for God. What are you talking about? Whosoever does the will of my Father, all of a sudden. And then you say, well, that was Jesus. Well, Paul wrote about the same thing. He says, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. What are you talking? And in the third chapter, it says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. What do you mean? I am saying that what a privilege it is to be able to feel the love of Almighty God. What a privilege it is. Oh, I know, maybe not everybody calls you like you think they should or whatever, but everybody, when somebody misses, when somebody is not here, it's part of the family. Oh, we have to go on. I understand, but you know what? It's a family, and I understand. Not everybody uses the phrase brother and sister and some of that. I grew up with that, and so that's kind of my hang up, but it was always ingrained in me from a child. This is my brother. This is my sister. This is my family. These are the people of God. This is who I want to call on. I want them around me. I want to hear from them when I'm in the midst of the valley. Why? Because whether anybody else has the answer, and I'm thankful for doctors and lawyers and butchers and bakers and candlestick makers, but I need the presence of Almighty God. I need the family of God to be there to uplift me and strengthen me. It does my heart good. You say, well, I don't want to connect. I don't want, well, you're missing a great part of what it means to be part of the family. To be part of the family. And that's why he said that there is this blessing. Oh, hallelujah. And you know, I know my time is up. I got more to say, and I'll say some tonight. But when you come in, and you may be carrying a burden, and you may be going through something, and I've seen folks say, well, you know, I just need strength and whatever. It feels counterintuitive, I know. It doesn't feel right to come maybe and stand and say, how's that going to help me? But you would be surprised at just coming and letting the presence of the Lord touch you, letting some people lay their hand on you, letting some folks, you say, well, I'm afraid of crowds. I understand that. I understand all of that. But there is something about being able to let the Holy Ghost begin to move. Oh, hallelujah. In fact, let's stand right now. I know that we are at an hour in which there is, trouble. There is stress. There is all kinds of things. But listen to me when I say that somehow in the midst of all of this, there is a joy that you can feel in the midst of a trial. There is a peace that you can feel in the midst of a dark valley. In fact, one writer said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for..." How do I know that? I feel the presence and the anointing of Almighty God. Let's come. Hallelujah. Don't forget prayer tonight.